Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
And I'm afraid to say it, but I am Annie Warmke.
Okay, don't be afraid. And today we're going to talk about localizing electricity markets, or the vote of your power, as opposed to the power of your vote. See, I'm trying to, you get to vote. And we're joined by Matt Roberts, who is the Director of Marketing for the Southeast Ohio Public Energy Council. So welcome, Matt.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess the first question I'd like to know is more about you, because how does a person get involved in something like this? So what's your background and what brought you to where you are today?
Well, yeah, first, thank you for having me on this podcast. This is one of my favorite podcasts to be on, so I'm glad to be on with you. But yeah, it's a weird story for me. I actually came to Ohio University in 2010, so about a decade ago, and I actually wanted to be a sports journalist. I was really big into sports radio, and I wanted to be a big-time sports writer for ESPN magazine. So obviously my story shifted a lot, and a big part of that is because I came to Athens and I learned so many new ideas that I hadn't heard of before. That's kind of inherent in just coming to college for many folks, though. So I became particularly interested in issues of sustainability, and the clear and obvious opportunity to be more sustainable is to work on cleaning up the electricity market. So it's something that I studied in school. I ended up working for the university as a research scholar for my last year of undergrad, and looked at the electricity market in Ohio. And I haven't really turned back since. I was lucky enough to find a job in the community working on an issue that one of the county commissioners wanted to work on, which was helping Athens County become one of the most energy efficient communities in the country. So I started there. That project was called Upgrade Athens County. We created a nonprofit called Upgrade Ohio, and that's now part of Rural Action, which is a nonprofit in the Athens County area. And in the last 4 or 5 years, the Southeast Ohio Public Energy Council was created, which is just a collection of local governments working together to buy electricity. So I've been in this for a while now.
Matt, is this what would be referred to out there as energy market aggregation? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's it. It's usually called community choice aggregation, and it's the purchasing of electricity or natural gas by the local government for its residents.
And how exactly does that work? Because, you know, I know that in most of the deregulated market, you have a choice on your electric bill of saying, okay, I want to buy from this person or this company or that company. Is it essentially the government doing the same thing, just picking and choosing which one gives them the best deal?
Yeah, it is. So I guess the thought is that most people still today don't know that they can purchase electricity for themselves from a supplier. And so to be able to get that competitive edge and use the buying power of the citizens to get the best rate, community choice aggregation is enacted. So that's exactly what we do. We just purchase electricity for an entire community or multiple communities to try to get a good rate on that portion of the electric bill.
But what if you're in a rural area and you're with an electric co-op?
What happens
then?
Yeah, that's certainly something I was planning on talking about. But, you know, there's a whole nother world of electric cooperatives. And I think there's 30 or 40 in the state of Ohio. But they were pretty much created through you know, a federal spending package way back in the 30s to provide electric service for these hard to reach areas in rural America. So those exist, and they operate in the same way as an aggregation program. essentially everyone that's part of the co-op is actually a owner or member owner of that cooperative, and they're purchasing electricity for themselves. So a little different, a little bit of the same.
Well, I was wondering, because it was always something I didn't quite get with the aggregation, but with most electric bills, and I don't think most people really realize that your bill is split into essentially three parts. One deals with the transportation end, which is taking it long distances from a generating facility to the local distribution network. And then, of course, the second one's distribution, third one's generation. And typically, you only get to choose the generator. Is that right? The rest of it is kind of up to wherever you happen to be geographically?
That is correct. At least in the spaces where people are served by an investor-owned utility. The electric cooperatives, you can't really change any portion of that bill. So, yeah, you're right. SOPEC, when we purchase electricity, which is the generation portion of the electric bill, that is about 40% of the typical electric bill. It used to be, I would say, closer to 50-50 between the actual generation or the supply electricity, and the other half being delivering the electricity. But since natural gas and renewables have replaced coal, generating electricity has become much cheaper to the point where it's now shifted that ratio of 40% or so as the actual energy supply. The other 60% of the bill is just delivering it from that point of generation to where you're using it.
And are we actually seeing prices go down? Because, you know, we're on a local electrical co-op. Our bill has not decreased at all, even though renewable energy, natural gas, those prices have diminished substantially.
Yeah, I mean, at least in my corner of being part of SOPEC, I've certainly seen electricity prices fall. SOPEC's rate before our new contract kicked in June of this year, June 2020, our folks that were SOPEC customers were paying closer to 5.5 to 6 cents per kilowatt hour. And now it's very common to find any supply option under 5 cents a kilowatt hour. So that portion has reduced.
That's just the generation costs, because your total kilowatt's going to be more.
But you know what the problem
is?
Yeah,
and that's...
The problem is that for the electric co-ops is they made, a lot of bad business decisions about a little over a decade ago, and they're still paying for that. They can't afford You know, they say we're member-owned, but that's their marketing shtick. It is not the way it works.
Right. Well, at least here in Ohio, the electrical co-ops sort of went all in on coal, you know, 100%. Yep. And that turned out to be a very poor choice.
I believe so, especially now that we're seeing electricity generation just become cheaper and cheaper. As I said, with mostly natural gas, and that's essentially becoming a bridge to renewable energy generation.
What's that mean to be a bridge?
Well, a bridge meaning that in time, natural gas is going to have the same fate as coal, just from how the trends are happening. It's going to be too expensive to generate electricity using natural gas compared to wind or solar or even battery storage. So, it's a bridge to the future of renewables, and in the case that we won't really need that bridge anymore at some point.
Well, when you guys select a successful bidder for your aggregation, let's say a community says, okay, we're going to vote for aggregation, because I know typically you do that through a ballot process. Do you select it just based on price, or are there other criteria, like we want it to be X amount renewable or local or whatever?
Yeah, I think for so long in Ohio, the whole purpose of community choice aggregation has been to lower the costs. But I actually, and this is just a personal opinion, but I believe that aggregation can be used for so much more, especially since the supply portion of the electric bill is going down. There's an opportunity to add, I guess you can call them premiums or additional fees onto that supply cost that is being worked through the aggregation program that actually can be reinvested to build local wealth. And over time, those investments could actually reduce the electricity burden for the customers altogether if enough is built out. So I really believe in using community choice aggregation to create unique program designs that funnel more money spent on electricity to local causes that build local wealth.
When you're saying build local wealth, you mean like local generation projects? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's one example. Yeah, so you know, we could put some money towards actually building large solar farms that feed the customers that have spent to actually make that project get built. But there's a whole number of other things as well. A couple examples, and this is what SOPEC is beginning to work on, is, you know, we're collecting fees for brokering these deals. And as a public agency, we want to be able to deploy those dollars, those public dollars, towards good. So we can actually use those dollars as a match dollar to get maybe grants from state or federal sources, or even private investors. So we can make those dollars stretch a little bit further. It doesn't have to be just for generation of electricity. It could be to provide other services as well. We're trying to help the city of Athens put some match dollars to build a microgrid for their water treatment plant, putting some dollars towards electrifying public transportation in Athens County. So whenever there's an opportunity to get you know, state, federal, or private dollars, they can be matched by the public agency dollars from SOPEC buying electricity for its customers.
We would love to invite you to come to Muskingum County and talk with some of the small communities here, because I think that while people are nervous about talking about fossil fuel, ending fossil fuel usage, I think that a lot of folks realize that we have to make some different choices. So we have lots of small communities that have their own administration, their own mayor, and things like that that could make those decisions. And I know we talked about New Concord. We've had their village manager on to talk about all the things that she does there. And she's definitely a good resource. But there's a lot of even smaller communities that could benefit from that. So we say move on from Athens County. They get everything.
Yeah, we are certainly trying to move and expand. It's amazing how fast SOPEC has grown. Originally, it was just, I think it was 2 founding members and then 4. And then we've now grown to 18 and we're real close to becoming 20 communities by the end of the year. So I think we're just showing that it's a great way, there's a better way to do community choice aggregation, and it's working together as public bodies and making sure that the programs that we create can provide some public benefit from now and into the future. Just simply using the power of the vote, or I say the vote of the power. There's so much electricity being used by everyone in this region that we can kind of utilize that buying power for good.
Okay, well, great. Well, we're going to take a really quick break here to remind everyone that you're listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warnke, reminding you once again, it is indeed the end of the world as we know it.
And thank God.
And it's the end of the way that we buy power, right? So it just always strikes me when you talk about aggregation, the utility companies are typically or have traditionally been in a monopolistic situation. You only have one choice. So what you're doing is maybe balancing the scales a little bit. It's almost like a union of purchasers. you know,
yeah,
you know, like the Sam's Club of electricity here, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Actually, NOPEC, the Northeast Ohio Public Energy Council, I've seen commercials that they have where people are walking around in a Sam's Club-like store and taking a box of electricity and putting it in their cart and going home. So it's kind of like that, yeah. Okay. I do have some interesting some stats on that, though. You're right. I mean, most states operate in a regulated environment, you know, meaning most, if not all, megawatt hours that are sold are by the same entity that actually delivers the electricity. So that's a monopoly in structure. But what's even worse is that the power production from those utilities is dispatched first in the wholesale market, even if it was more costly to do so compared to an actual power generating facility or some theoretical one, which is causing a big problem. Meaning that people are paying more for their electricity than they need to.
Well, here's the deal. I would like to go to, I don't go to Sam's Club because I don't really believe in those places. But if they have.
No, they do exist. I'll tell you.
I know they do. Somebody sent me yesterday of something at Sam's Club that they wanted me to buy. It was like, not at Sam's Club. Anyway, but I would like to go to one of those places and buy myself a box of broadband. And I'll carry it around and go for a while because I'd be so thrilled. And I just wonder, because you're talking about electricity and all of the infrastructure of electricity with poles and wires and all that, it just seems like such a natural transition, particularly for rural areas, to begin to have these electric generating companies produce, give broadband on their infrastructure and be broadband providers. And I wonder your thoughts about that and also what you see as the future of that.
Well, it certainly makes sense to me. I think the electric cooperatives can act on this much sooner than an investor-owned utility like AEP Ohio. They own the poles and wires, and they could... it could look like they put broadband on their wires and you just pay for your internet service as a separate charge on your electric bill, if you wanted to really simplify it. So they don't really need any regulatory approval to do that. But this is where the problem comes in with these investor-owned utilities is, you know, most of the or all of the customers we serve is, and they're also delivered electricity by an investor-owned utility in AEP Ohio. And because their investors require a return on investment, what they'd want to do is get regulatory approval to add broadband onto their poles and wires, meaning they want a regulated rate of return. And I have a sense that Ohio lawmakers don't think that's the best thing to do. But I actually feel like just the economy of scale of how much space and customers they serve, it could actually be deployed to everyone at a pretty reasonable rate. And I guess who pays for that is a whole nother question.
Yeah, well, part of the challenge is the lack of will. And I do know during the pandemic, when I spoke at the Ohio 2020 Task Force, which is the Ohio Legislature committee, they had several lawmakers on there that are in the same position that lots of us are in, and yet they still lack the will to step out and say, you know, we can pass a bill, which has been in front of them for 18 months without any kind of movement. We could pass a bill that would really pretty much make it a no-brainer for the electric co-ops to go into broadband industry, and they won't do it.
Yeah, there's also a mindset in any organization. You know, these electric companies view themselves as electric providers, and not as broadband providers. So you have to get them over that hump, you know, to say, hey, you know, this is an opportunity for you. But I mean, the regulated marketplace is not the most entrepreneurial of spaces. You know, these guys kind of you know, it's reminds me, my dad always used to talk about bankers as the rule of four, you know, it's or the rule of three, I guess he said. You borrow money at 3%, loan it at 6%, and you're on the golf course by three. You know, that's that's kind of the process that these guys go through. So when I spoke to our local rural electrical co-op management a while back about providing broadband, you know, their response was, oh, yeah, we looked into that about 20 years ago and it didn't make any sense. I'm like, well, computers didn't make any sense, you know, 40 years ago. So, you know, technology has changed. Things have changed, you know. Reevaluate.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have the issue I see is that at least with the co-ops that we've had connection with, they are locked in still to the 1950s and they still are fighting solar energy. They're still fighting some cases using computers to do presentations. even their annual meetings are more like the 1950s than, you know, 2020. So we have a lot of things to overcome. And then we have legislatures that are still locked into the fossil fuel lobby and they somehow get broadband mixed up with the generation of electricity. So it's all really bad for the rural people.
Well, speaking of the lobby, have you guys run into any resistance, you know, from the powers that be? Because you're kind of coming in and trying to disrupt the marketplace and trying to diminish some of the utility's power base.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, because it's a little interesting. Like our supplier for SOPEC is AEP Energy, which is, you know, a subsidiary of the large AEP Energy Corporation. So I guess in a way, the money is still going to AEP in this sense, but it's just going through their competitive business side instead of their regulated business side. So I wouldn't say that we've come up with too much, I guess, negative pressure from them, the utility itself. But we are, I guess, in a way, kind of forcing them to think about providing other services and other unique program designs that really haven't been implemented before. And it's exciting to be able to continue to grow our buying power so that we have more power to do more unique things.
Well, you're obviously in this marketplace and probably thinking about threats and changes and things of that nature to the way you do things. If you're sitting here just dreaming of the future, where do you see the electric market going?
Well, I think there's a lot of change coming. I had mentioned that, you know, electricity costs just to generate electricity are continuing to come down. But, you know, at the same time, across the whole country, electricity markets are becoming more decentralized and more deregulated, which means that it's more of a market structure. It's more competitive instead of this monopoly structure. So I see that, you know, producing energy is going to eventually become too cheap for the common regulated monopoly electric utility model to survive. And what they're going to need to do is they're going to need to shift to provide different electricity services. So one that I anticipate is that they're going to start implementing transportation as a service. So using electric transportation to provide transit and mobility services, that could be a way that they recoup their losses from used to being making money on generating electricity. I think if they shift that to providing transportation, that'd be a big win for everyone.
Are you are you talking about like charging stations, or are you talking about fully outfitting the trolley cars and buses and everything else and them actually running them?
Yeah, the second piece, I see that coming up. Certainly charging stations, but, you know, via charging stations, they're going to have to be involved with transit systems because transit systems themselves are shifting to electric because it's less costly to operate. So they're going to have to play a role in that transportation as a service model. But the other big piece, a big opportunity for electric utilities is to reduce the what's called the rejected energy. There's this energy flow chart that's released every year by there's a national laboratory, federal government national laboratory that looks at this. So in 2019, the United States used 100 quads of energy, and a quad is 1 quadrillion British thermal units. And to create electricity in the United States, 37 of those 100 quads are used to generate electricity. 12 of those 37 are actually used to use electricity. They actually go to a consumer, but then 24 are what's called rejected, meaning that it never reaches a consumer. It's lost in waste heat. It's lost in transmitting the electricity far distances to consumers. So there's so much inefficiency in the electricity market as it stands today. They have a lot of opportunity to shift their business model to focus on improving interconnection capabilities, meaning we're going to have a lot more people owning their own generation assets, meaning a lot more interconnections. They're going to have a lot more opportunity to shift the electricity loads from one place to another using microgrids and energy storage. And then they're also going to have to make sure that the quality of electricity is up to par, so that way it reaches places that need critical electricity all the time, like hospitals. So I see the market shifting pretty rapidly as it gets cheaper to produce electricity and it's owned by individuals or corporations instead of the utility itself. They're going to have to shift in what they do, and it's going to be a whole different service.
Well, we've seen a tremendous amount of corporations, you know, all the way from Apple to Walmart to Kohl's, saying, you know, we're going to create our own energy infrastructure because this is something then we can control our own cost structure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they see that they don't want to be told how much they can, how much they should pay for electricity if they know it's cheaper for them to own that electricity themselves. So you're seeing that from average homeowners all the way up to big corporations realizing that.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't even really touched on what happens to this market when battery technologies come of age and we begin to see storage at on-site or in a local environment.
Well, we'll have to have mm-hmm. Matt come back and join us. We'll not let you leave.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Matt. And I want to remind everybody that you have been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke, joined today by Matt Roberts. We want to thank our non-distributed producer, Adam Rich, and we want to thank you for spending just a little bit of time with us. And as your grandmother, hopefully, probably, definitely told you, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is...
play nice with others, clean up your own mess, and aggregate that electricity.
Aggregate your vegetables. Yes. Okay. Bye-bye.
I know the stars are dancing in the firelight. Soon we'll be together. All will be revealed. Mother Earth will sing, and her children will be healed. Come out, see the morning glory blossom in the night. Know the skies are dancing.
You can find more information on living sustainably in our unsustainable world at BlueRockStation.com.